Mixed action in Thursday's market trade. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen with this market update. Joining us now for our market wrap-up, Kyle Bumstead with Allendale. Kyle, let's start in this cattle complex. Some pretty hefty losses on the futures side here for Thursday's trade. Feeders leading the way down. We had a couple what felt like consolidation days after Monday's big up day in futures, which is kind of looking like a fluke now. I mean, what's your take on this cattle trade here this week?
Well, first off, anytime you want to get the government involved in anything, just let them do it, and they're going to screw something up. And that's kind of what I think they're doing here by investigating the packers. Not that I'm saying that there hasn't been anything done wrong. What I'm saying is once the government gets involved, be careful what you wish for and be clear on what you ask for, because like I said, they get involved, things get ugly. So yes, we saw Friday afternoon, a lot of folks were pretty, oh my gosh, you know, it's a good thing we're short. And I'm glad that we don't have, you know, we got to be very careful here because this thing's going to open limit down. And yeah, we saw this thing open and we went limit up. And, you know, once we got into Tuesday, things didn't look so good. And I'm still in the camp here that we got some more downside coming here in these cattle, both live and feeders. Now, that's barring the November feeder contract, because November feeders go off here in about 6-7 days, and they're going to get tied to the index. The index today was up here about $1.75 here on that 342.44. So we're going to see a few things like that take place here. You know, we're going to run into a lack of cattle going in that index here pretty soon. The quality's not going to be there. So cash feeders haven't really backed up much here in the barn. So they have, but they have and they haven't. So they're still giving a pretty good price here for cash feeders, and that's why I think it's going to keep this November in check or keep this November from completely falling off the cliff. Now, the deferred contracts, I think, are still kind of hinged on a little bit of fund liquidation, which obviously we're seeing that because the spreads are bullish here. The spreads are gaining while the outrights are getting hit. So when we look at things here, it tells me that non-commercials are liquidating their feeder and live cattle positions here as we round out the fifth day of the golden roll here today, getting out of those December contracts and moving out to the deferreds in the case of live cattle. Now, looking here at the live cattle, we saw a cash trade here today on Thursday start to develop anywhere from around that 350 dress, which is about 221.5 to 222 on a live basis here in the north. We saw 228 trading in Kansas and Texas all over. So what it tells me is cash is weaker this week. And I have also heard that if you got big cattle, the packers are not that interested. So we do need to keep that in mind. Some of these cattle are getting good size. I talked to a gentleman who's got some that are weighing 1,700 pounds. And they said, no, we're not interested. So that could get to be very interesting moving forward here. The packer just kind of backs off and says, no, we're going to get some bigger cattle out here. And that could create, if they do start taking them, then the dock effect is going to start coming into play here. And that's going to really hurt this cash market for some of these guys. So all in all, a lot of fund liquidation here. Once we saw Tuesday's open here, you know, Tuesday we were higher, but just didn't seem to have the enthusiasm that Monday had. Didn't even try to trade into expanded limits, and most of it's been basically non-commercial fund liquidation.
What about boxed beef and looking at some of that retail demand and things like that? I mean, amid all this volatility in futures and some of the cash, it seems like boxed beef is held in there fairly steady, I guess I would say. I mean, what's your view on the boxed beef side?
It has held in there fairly steady, but we are seeing it kind of peel back here. And what I'm a little bit concerned is I'm seeing some of the push lists that are offered out there, and a lot of ground beef and a lot of ribs are offered. And if demand was so great, I mean, I would think that ground beef and ribs would be a couple of those things here that folks would be, you know, that wouldn't be on the push list. So that's a little bit concerning there. Now, a lot of folks, based off that theory of boxed beef going higher here into the holidays, are thinking that there's going to be a pretty good seasonal buy coming up in these cattle. That may be the case, may not be the case. It all depends here. And they're thinking that, you know, short-term box beef demand is going to really prop this thing back up, maybe. But I think if this box beef market were to get back up around that 380 on the choice, I think that's going to be some pretty good resistance up there on the choice box there. In fact, here at noon today, we're on 374.17, down 28 cents. So it'll be very interesting to see where the evening box beef comes in at here and how we finish the week as far as that market goes.
Looking over at the grains and oil seeds, finding some support there on Thursday. Soybeans leading the way, corn getting a little bit of a move as well, and even some of that spilling into the wheat trade. I know we finally got some export sales numbers out on Thursday morning. Everyone's kind of geared up for whatever USDA is going to throw at this market on Friday. It just seems, you know, I think a lot of traders in the grains and oil seeds are waiting to see what gets thrown our way and things of that nature. I mean, your perspective on this as we head into kind of an unknown here to end the week.
My perspective is you've got unpriced grain. It's probably a decent time to be getting rid of some, and then you can look at reownership. I really couldn't care less what the USDA throws out there, because all those folks are doing is looking at those weekly options, just trying to make some money doing those and seeing if they can outguess this report. Well, you can't outguess the government, obviously. They've tried that before, and they're going to say, well, the government says this and the government says that. And folks, we got to remember, these are just estimates, compiled of estimates. So the government puts together a list of estimates that are phoned in or, you know, surveyed in or whatever. And most people I know say, well, I lie on that thing anyway, so why put much reliance on that? What I am putting reliance on is the spread. I look out here at the Jan-March bean spread, the March-May bean spread, and the May-July bean spread, and all those are gaining here, and they have been gaining. And that tells me that there could be some issues in South America as we move through the wintertime here. That March-May spread, especially in that May-July spread in soybeans here, 9.25 cents carry from March to May and May to July. Also taking a look at the coffee market as well. That market here, yes, it's been subject to some tariff headlines, but before that, it looks like there's some drought, some dry issues in South America based off of what that market's been telling us. So you look at that, you look at the bean spread saying, maybe there is some weather issues going on down there in South America, because I look at those March, May, and the May, July, as that's when South America's harvesting their crop, kind of like when we're harvesting our crop is the East March spread in the corn and the Nova Jan spread here in the soybeans, as well as the Jan March spread here in the soybeans to a lesser extent. There's still a few beans out there that are coming to town, but a lot of folks, you know, looked at that reownership once they got off the combine, once they, you know, made cash sales, and that's probably the thing they've been doing. Volatility has been very cheap here in the grains, or has been cheaper in the grains, so that's what's been more enticing to use a reownership play as opposed to a holding out, because folks, they all know that we're one headline away or one social media post away from, you know, taking a dollar off this bean market in no time. So what's, you know, what could take us 2 weeks to build here could be gone in a day and a half, or less than a day here, or less than a day and a half here on the soybean complex, based off of what we're seeing here based on social media and whatever our president says.
Kyle, great thoughts and perspective as always. If folks want to reach out and have a conversation with you there at Allendale, what's the best way?
You call me here at the office in central Nebraska at 308-708-7340.
And of course, we always remember that risk of trading futures and or options can be substantial. Kyle Bumstead with Allendale, thank you for joining us on today's market wrap-up. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that is going to do it for the Thursday, November 13th, 2025 market wrap-up for the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen reporting.